Roger that, Control. Sure was a beautiful sight.
Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95BFM. Thanks to Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Alan.
We have a new intro.
Yes, that's a surprise. I haven't heard it myself.
It's my first time hearing it too, but I like it.
Yes, a bit more laid back than the last one.
Yeah, the last one was very in your face, and this one kind of we can ease into it.
Yeah, that was nice.
How are you this morning?
I'm not too bad. I'm feeling a bit better now after this. Put a smile on my face.
Oh, glad to hear it. Okay, so what's been happening in the world of space?
Well, probably heaps and heaps, but we can only talk about it a little bit, unfortunately. I think the first thing is probably the Cassini spacecraft the other day went the closest ever to Saturn. Within only about 3,000 kilometres of the surface, which sounds a long way, is much further than the space station is above Earth, for instance. But then Saturn is so much bigger. It weighs 95 times more than the Earth weighs. So its gravity is much, much stronger. So coming within 3,000 kilometres is very, very close above the cloud tops. But what the spacecraft also had to do was avoid the innermost part of the ring system that is around Saturn. It's been orbiting around Saturn away from the rings deliberately because those rings are composed of particles of ice and rock, anything up to a house size, but most smaller than that. But they're traveling very fast and would be very damaging to the spacecraft, if not fatal. So it went in the gap between the cloud tops and the innermost ring, which is within about 300 kilometres of the closest ring they got. So it was a very much matter of threading the needle and doing it at such a great distance from the Earth. I mean, it's 1.6 billion kilometres away from Earth at the moment. And it went through at a speed of about 124,000 kilometres an hour. Just amazing what they're able to do at that distance. But then I guess they've had plenty of practice with the Cassini being there since 2004 it arrived.
That is amazing.
1997.
So it went smoothly then? Like it's all gone successfully?
Sorry, I didn't catch the beginning of that.
It all went smoothly then, and it's all...
It did. It went smoothly. What they did to help protect it, it's got a large antenna as a big dish, and what it did was turn that to the front as it went through and use that as a shield
from any
oncoming particles. What it meant, though, that was during that close approach... that antenna wasn't pointing towards the Earth.
Yeah.
So there was no contact until it went out the other side, and then it was programmed to come back, point back to Earth, and then send the data back. So they did a few things like that to mitigate any problems. I think this is the first of 22 dives they're going to do altogether between the rings and the planet. And then that'll be the end of the mission. As it's been there since 2004... these 22 dives will get closer and closer, and then the last one, Cassini, will go into the atmosphere and burn up. It'll be about September later this year.
Ah, feeling a little bit sad about that.
A little bit, but then this is the third mission. I mean, there was the prime mission, and then that was extended into a second mission, and then that was extended into this third mission, so... I mean, at one point they were thinking of leaving Saturn and, after the main mission and going to another part of the solar system, but they decided to stay and do more there. So it's been an absolute amazing mission. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be information and discoveries made over the next few months with these close approaches, and they'll try and let everyone know.
Excellent. Very, very cool. Okay, let's move on. I'm looking at my notes here. Is this some possible good news from America?
It is, from the point of view of space exploration, yeah. Donald Trump, the U.S. president, has signed a bill authorizing funding for NASA. It's the first authorization bill for a number of years. NASA can continue with the budget it has, but this is the first time in a while that it's been a clear indication from the president down of what they want NASA to do. The important thing is that NASA won't face some of the cuts that other agencies in science and medicine are going to face because of the policies from the new president. The main thing is that they've set a clear goal for NASA of getting humans to Mars by about 2033. They don't say whether they have to land on Mars or just go into Mars orbit. That's up to NASA at this stage. And the other thing they've asked them to do is find an alternative to the asteroid mission. Under Obama, the idea was to visit an asteroid as a stepping stone to going to Mars. NASA been asked to replace that with something else, and so NASA's working on a new intermediate mission, which might be going back to the moon. Not really sure yet. They're still working on that. I know that President Trump's keen on that because he wants to find out if there's any stuff he can mine and bring back here. Yeah. It's all about jobs and money with Trump.
Yep. Well, interesting, though.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, again, the jobs part of it is an important part of this, I think. NASA's been directed that they can't get spaceflight services from any foreign entities unless there are no NASA vehicles or commercial providers in the U.S. available. Because at the moment, of course, they have to use Russian craft to get the astronauts up to the space station after the shuttle flight's finished. And they've been asked also to find ways to boost private space industry. So, I mean, part of it is, aside from the big ticket one of going to Mars, it is about jobs and keeping things in the U.S. as well, which Trump's been quite prominent about, hasn't he?
Interesting to see how this will play out.
Yeah.
Okay, space junk.
Space junk. We're talking about stuff going up into space. I mean, what all that about with NASA is going beyond Earth orbit, you know, well outside where commercial satellites are. Where commercial satellites are, the critical altitude between 800 and 1,000 kilometres is very congested. In total, there's been about 7,000 satellites launched in the whole of space exploration since Sputnik went up in 1957, was it? 58? 57, I think. So 7,000, but the number is increasing, and New Zealand, of course, is going to add to that with the Rocket Lab launch set sometime this year to send satellites up cheaply. I mean, some plans like Samsung or Google are looking at projects where they might launch 100 satellites in one go. This is to help with, especially with communications in areas of the world where it's difficult to have communications with land-based systems. So the chance of being them colliding and so on is greatly increased. At the moment, 18,000 fragments are tracked by radar and so on, but the estimates are there's more than 750,000 pieces up there between 1 and 10 centimetres in size. But anything like that, they can hit it up to 40,000 kilometres an hour. So it's like a hand grenade going off if that happens.
Wow.
There's a conference in Germany with 400 people there trying to figure out ways of mitigating this, possibly ways of cleaning up the junk.
Interesting.
Yeah, but there's just this idea that you just need one collision that produces a whole bunch of pieces, then they can then hit other pieces and it becomes a chain reaction. It's called the Kessler syndrome, named after a NASA scientist, and so the idea is that you don't need a whole lot hitting at once, you just need one to hit and those pieces will spread out and hit others. But it hasn't happened, well, it has happened twice, but not to a really bad way, but they just looking ahead and thinking, my goodness, what's going to happen down the track?
So they might try and clean it up?
That's the idea, looking at ways of doing that. It's pretty difficult, but I guess if you don't look at ways of doing it, you're never going to discover a possible way that you didn't think of.
Interesting. Well, keep us up to date with what ideas come out of that.
Absolutely.
I'm picturing some kind of crazy space whale that just, like, eats it all up.
If only the space is too big, unfortunately.
Yeah,
things are going all in different directions, different heights.
It's too slow, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, I can dream.
You can.
Dream about my space whale.
A big magnet, yeah. Or a laser, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay, what's happening in the Auckland night sky?
Well, there's a thing called an occultation. People remember what an eclipse is, where the moon goes in front of the sun. When the moon or another object goes in front of something behind, it's called an occultation. It just means it's covered. It's hidden. And the moon goes in front of faint stars quite often, but it's not really of much use to the general public because those stars are too faint to really notice. But next month it's going to go in front of a very bright star. It's called Regulus. It's the bright star in the constellation of Leo, the lion, which is in the north during the night, going across to the northwest. And on the 4th of May, it's going to go across and cover up Regulus. And I think it's something that people can look out for. The idea is a few days before, get to know where Regulus is in the night as it is going towards the west. On the 4th of May, it'll go in front of the star at about 10:48 p.m. And then out the other side at a bit before midnight. The altitude of the moon will be pretty low, about 24 degrees. It's not very high. And at the end of the occultation will be 13 degrees. But, I mean, the moon's an obvious thing to find in the sky, and Regulus will be right by it if you go out at that time. So it'll be something for people to prepare for and see if they can observe it.
Excellent. I'm going to say it because it looks fun to say, occultation of Regulus.
Yeah. I mean, that is where the word occult comes from, hidden. Yeah, so an occultation is where the moon... In this case, it's lunar occultation. There are other types of occultation, but the lunar ones are the ones that people can see, even with binoculars. It's a pretty good sight.
Cool.
You just see Regulus just disappear.
Awesome. Okay, and what's happening at the Stardome?
Well, on that same night, funnily enough, we have three shows called May the 4th. Every year we have this. It's to do with Star Wars. It's May the 4th be with you.
Excellent.
Yeah. So those shows are at 6, 7 and 8 p.m. And if you come along dressed as your favorite Star Wars character, well, it doesn't have to be your favorite, any Star Wars character, I guess, you'll get in free.
Cool.
So one of the shows. You can't go to all three. But you will need to book. It's very popular. So 624-1246 is the phone number. There'll be an auto night sky as part of the show, presented by one of the Stardome Jedi Masters, and learn about what it would take to fly across the Milky Way to the galaxies far, far away.
Great. I'm going to come along just to hopefully see some people dressed up.
Well, you can dress up too, you know, Alice.
I'd have to put some thought into that.
Well, I hope you do.
What about you? Will you be showing up as a Star Wars character?
I'm not sure. I don't have too much in that way in my wardrobe.
Not some robes, maybe? Jedi robes?
Not even that. What character would you come as?
I have no idea, see? I have no idea.
See, I'd probably end up coming as a robot, I think.
Oh, that would be good.
Trooper or something, yeah. I've got to find something that'll fit me these days. Maybe a robe would be better.
I feel like a robe, nice and comfy, pretty easy.
Yeah. Don't get it caught in the seat in the planetarium, though.
Excellent. Thank you, David.
Thank you,
pleasure
Alice.
To talk to you as always, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Control, we are docked.
That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.